good that we're in this capacity, out of the cold and in this comfort, and we pray that you will open your mind and your Bibles as we study some things together that I hope will help us understand the things that we need to understand in God's Word that will help us in the lives that we live. There's probably one of the things that has always seemed to be perplexing to many is the type of language and the way that it's used in the New Testament. Sometimes we make the grave mistake of thinking in the physical when we need to think in the spiritual, and we fail to meet proper applications to the things that we know by making the wrong connotation when something is physical when it's not, and looking at something spiritual when it's not. But I want to talk about a subject that is indeed important to all of us, and something that we must guard very closely and very diligently if we're going to be successful in being a child of God and preparing ourselves for an eternal home. Take your Bibles out and turn to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to spend today in looking at this chapter, but we're going to use as our text this morning Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23. Now, I'm sure that all people, members of the Lord's church, have passages and books in the Bible that are their favorites. And me being a preacher, and it's no different, I have passages that I have a great fondness for. I also have books that I'm very fond of. I love the book of Hebrews. It's one of the most enjoyable books. I love studying it. I really like the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. I spent a lot of time in examining that book and teaching from that book. But this passage in Proverbs is one of my favorite passages. And it is because it's a powerful verse. It's powerful because it's short, but it has so much meaning. In verse 23, it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Now, I want you to think about what this passage says. Keep your heart with all diligence. Now, the word diligence means great effort. It means diligent means to do it with great effort, cautiously, expeditiously, and to do it with great thought. Why? Why do I need to keep my heart with that kind of effort? Because the Bible says, out of it flows the issues of life. Everything about your life, everything about my life, and everything that's important in our relationship with God begins and ends with the Bible heart. Everything that we are, everything we hope to be, and everything we do begins and ends with what we have done with our heart. How we have prepared it, how we have taught it, how we have nurtured it, and how we use it. Now, when we're talking about the Bible heart, we're not talking about the blood pump in our body. That is indeed an important part of our human body. You can't live without your heart. But I want to suggest to you today that you can't live with God and be successful without having good heart, a good Bible heart. And when we're talking about the Bible heart, we're talking about your mind. We're talking about our thought process. We're talking about what makes us unique. You know, one of the things that's got a lot of play here recently, a number of years, is cloning. Well, I never really worry about that because you can't clone a soul. And there are no two people alike. You know, I've been told, I've heard all my life, that there's someone that looks just like you somewhere. As I've told you before, I feel sorry for whoever that person is in my life. But be that as it may, there's something that makes us an individual that's distinctive from every other person. And you know what that is? That's your heart. Your Bible heart makes you distinctive. You are distinctive from any other person on the earth because the only one that has control of your heart is you. Nobody else has control of it. You are the sole proprietor of it, and you're the one that determines what goes in it, how it's used, and whether or not it's profitable to you. And so what we want to talk about today is the discipline of wisdom. And wisdom indeed is important. And wisdom is the wisdom is different than knowledge. Isn't it important you have knowledge? Absolutely. You need to have spiritual knowledge of God's Word. But you know, knowing the Bible, quoting the Bible, knowing where things are, is of little benefit to you if you do not know how to apply it in your life. You have to make application of truth and application of Bible knowledge in order to profit by it. And so we want to talk about how we can profit from the knowledge we have and how we can best put it to use in our lives to protect us. So I want to talk today about keeping your heart with all diligence. To begin with, we have to define what we're talking about. The Bible heart is that from Thayer means the center and seat of our spiritual life. The soul or the mind, as it is the fountain and the seat of thoughts, of passions, of desires, of appetites, and affections, and purposes, and endeavors. Now, what does all that mean? That means every action that you take in this life, every choice you make, every decision you make, anything you do in the realm of work for God begins and ends with your heart. You can't do evil until you think evil. You can't do good until you think good. You ever heard people say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that"? That's an incorrect statement. What they should have said, to be more correct, "I didn't mean to say what I was thinking. I didn't want you to know." Because you see, you can't speak it until you first think it. So everything begins in our mind. And you know, we're going to see this in the study today, that God's been very plain about this. And if you know, if you take a concordance and you do a word search of the word heart, you know that it's used hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times in your Bible? You ever wonder why? Because it's an important thing for us to control and to get under control. Because it's, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? It is not a stretch to say that if you don't get control of your heart, then your life's not going to be right. You have to get control of your heart in order to get your life right. And so we want to know how to do that. How do we control our heart that it will benefit our lives? The heart in Hebrew can refer to one's emotions. And we're going to look at a number of passages that say that. But often, most often in the Bible, it is often talks about your intellect, such as understanding. In Proverbs 10 and verse 8. And your discernment, that is your understanding of the wisdom. Chapter 15, verse 14. Of reflection and of will. What is our will? You know, what motivates you? What desire is foremost in your life? You know, as you sit here this morning, all of us have something that's most important to us. There is something at the top of the list of our lives. And we all know what should be there. We know that God should be there. But every one of us have something that's there. And who put it there? I put it there. You put it there. Because you're the only one that can. And that's where all your affection, that's where all your love, that's where all your attention, and that's where all your focus is at, is what is on the top of that list. But it begins in your heart. It begins on how you think and what you think about. And so let's talk about the Bible heart and how we understand it. I want to begin this morning by telling you, your heart is how you think. In Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to read a lot of scripture, because I believe it's important for you to see this, not just my opinion. The Bible teaches this. Our heart thinks. In Matthew chapter 9, and in verse 4, Jesus said, "But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil in your hearts?'" Why do you think evil? Where did the evil begin? It didn't begin in their action. It began in their thought process. Why do you think evil in your heart? You see, you can't do evil until you think evil. Look at chapter 15 and look at verse 19. Now, this is a passage that I think you're pretty familiar with. This is Jesus teaching about things that defile us. And we're going to read for context. We're going to begin reading in verse 18. It says, "But those things will proceed out of the mouth, come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts." Now think about this. Evil thoughts proceed from the heart. What do those evil thoughts lead to? They lead to murder. They lead to adultery. They lead to fornication. They lead to theft, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man. The actions, they defile you. But where did the actions begin? They began in your heart. Because it is how you think. Each of us think in a certain way. And so our Bible heart is the place where we think about what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. It also is how we believe. In Romans chapter 10, in talking about this and about confession, it says in verse 10, "With the heart one believes unto righteousness." Where do we aim the preaching at? When I'm up here preaching, or I'm teaching class, what am I aiming at? I'm aiming at your heart. I'm aiming at your thought process, your intellect. I want you to reason. I want you to think about what God's Word says. And that's where God's Word is aimed. It's aimed at the heart. Because it is the heart that has to be converted. Ladies and gentlemen, nobody is going to ever obey the gospel. Nobody is ever going to live for God until their heart is convicted, until their mind is changed. And so the gospel has to be aimed at the thing that produces the change that is necessary. And so that's why God wants you to reason. That's why God wants you to study. That's why God wants you to check out what you're told, to make sure that it's what it needs to be. The Bible says our mind is in what we trust. In Proverbs, the third chapter, and verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Trust the Lord with all your heart. You know what that means? That means that everything that I believe what God says above anything else that anybody tells me. Anything else that anybody tries to show me, that I believe God first and foremost, and I truly trust Him with all my thinking. You know why? Because God's not going to give me bad information. He's not going to lead me in a way that's not profitable. And He's not going to lead me in a way that's going to be counterproductive in my life. And so it is utmost important to me that I place my trust in God and not in my own understanding. But also, it's what I need to love. Remember when Jesus was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" You remember what He said in Matthew chapter 22? You could probably quote this verse. In Matthew 22 verse 37, He says, Jesus said to Him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." Now what does that mean? That means with every mechanism in my body, that I've got to love God. I've got to love God totally, completely. And what it means to love, that means that He is supreme. Do you love God that way? In Exodus chapter 35, why do we do what we do? Why do we do it the way that we do it? In Exodus 35, in verse number 29, the Bible says, the children of Israel brought a free will offering to the Lord, all the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work, which the Lord by the hand of Moses had commanded to be done. You see, they were building the tabernacle, and they were taking free will offerings. And the Bible says, all those that had, what does it say? They were willing, the free will offering, whose hearts were willing. You see, you have to want to do something. It doesn't just happen. When I serve God, it doesn't just happen. It's what I will to do. It's what I want to do. You know, I've been asked all my life by members of the Lord's Church, do I have to do this? You don't have to do a thing. If you do something because you have to, there's no love in it. There's no love in it if you do. Let me ask you a question, you folks that are married. Do you love your husband and wife because you have to? Is that why you love them? And if you do, what would they think if you told them that? What would your husband and wife think? Say, yeah, I love you, but I do because I have to. Do you think that would be reciprocated to you? If you love somebody because you have to? No, you see, you got to want to. You know, being a Christian is about doing not what we want to do, but what we will to do. You know what people do in the Lord's Church? They do what they want to do. They do what they want to do. They have a will. They have a choice in the matter. People do what they want to do. And ladies and gentlemen, if there's something more important than God, I will find the time and the opportunity to do it because I have a will to do that. The same is true about God. What is your will in your life? And then reasons. You know, we use our mind to reason, to think things out, to reason and discern things. In Mark chapter 2, verse number 6, and some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason with these things in your heart? You see, why were they reasoning that way? You know why they were reasoning these evil thoughts? Because they didn't believe Jesus was the Christ. They did not accept him as Messiah. And so anything that he said, they were leery of it because they thought it was evil because they thought he was evil. But how did they come to that conclusion? Because that's how they reason in their heart. You use your heart to reason, to give understanding to what you believe. Let me ask you a question. Why do we believe what we believe about anything? Because we reason with our mind. Somebody gives us information. We weigh that information out. We consider that information. And then we make a decision about that information. That's the same way it works spiritually. Somebody preaches to you the gospel. Somebody teaches you the gospel. You can reason what the meaning of that is. And then you will what you're going to do with it. You ever wonder why people can sit in an audience and hear something over and over again and know that that thing is wrong in their life and they need to correct it, but they don't? Why do they do that? I know why. They will themselves not to do it. They've chosen not to do it. Now, for what reason? I don't know that unless they tell me. But there's a reason, and only they know why they don't do it. But it's what they have determined to do with the information they have. They make that decision. So the Bible heart, it thinks, it believes, it trusts, it loves, and it wills, and it's reason. And so it's deceit. And that's why the Bible that says that the heart is the center of all things. That is what did the Bible say that we read? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Everything about you as a person, everything about you as a being, as a servant of God, begins and ends with how you use your heart. And this is something that no one has control of except you. Now, people can influence it. They can lead it astray. They can do a lot of things. But when it actually goes to making decisions, you are the sole contributor to that. You make that determination. Nobody else does. Keep your heart with all diligence. 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 14. And he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. You see, he didn't make provision. He didn't put his mind in a place to seek the Lord. He didn't make the proper preparation. And you know, this is why a lot of men don't grow spiritually. It's because they don't prepare their heart. They don't prepare and make the necessary things needed in order to grow. He did evil because he did not prepare his heart. And then the Bible says, another one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Listen to what the Bible says about Ezra. Ezra says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law, to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. What did it mean? It meant that Ezra had made provision in his thinking that he was going to seek what the law of the Lord was. And then when he found it, he determined that he was going to act upon it, and he was going to do it. And then he was not only going to do it, he was determined to teach it to others so they could also do it. Let me ask you a question this morning. How stronger would the church be if we all had the heart of Ezra? To prepare our mind to seek God's law. I want to know what God's law is. I want to know what I need to do. I want to know how I can be more effective. I want to know how I can have more knowledge. I want to know how I can be an effective teacher. And I find out, and then when I find that information, that I'm going to do it. I'm not just going to find out and just have the knowledge for knowledge's sake, but when I find that knowledge, then I'm going to put it to use, and I'm going to do it. And then not only am I going to do it, I'm going to try to get others to follow my pattern, and I'm going to try to help them to do it too. But let me ask you a question. Who made the decision to prepare Ezra's heart? Ezra. Let me ask you this. What is your heart prepared to do today? You know what? It's prepared to do something. Whether it be good, whether it be bad, whether it be indifference, whether it be happy, it doesn't matter. We prepare our heart to do something. My dear brother, what are you preparing your heart to do? To do God's will? To be busy in His kingdom? I don't know the answer to that for you. But you know what? You know the answer to that. Now I want you to think about that for a minute. What have you prepared your heart to do? Kind of humbling, isn't it? You know, when I was putting this lesson together, I'm sitting in my chair in my office, and I'm thinking, man, that's so simple. That's so simple to understand. That you prepare yourself for whatever you do in your life. You make preparation to do that. You know, when the Bible says to keep it, it means to guard it. It means to watch over. It means it is very important that you should give a great deal of attention to what you put in your heart. You better be careful what you put in it. Because whatever you put in it, that's what's coming out of it. It implies value and the importance of the heart. Is a heart important? It's the center of everything we are. It's the center of our being. It is what makes us who we are. Is it important? Who could say it's not important? It's the most important thing other than your soul. The most important thing is your soul, and the second thing that's most important is your mind. Because how you control your mind is going to have a lot to do with what's going to happen to your soul. It implies the need for the heart to be protected and guarded. It is in the danger of jeopardy. You know, there's places I'm not going to take my mind because it's dangerous. I'm not going to take my mind into places that can lead me to sin. You know what? It's important what you read. It's important what you look at. It's important what kind of music you listen to. It's important about what kind of books you read. It's important about what you spend time putting in your mind. That's important. Because whatever that is going to come out in action. How busy is the devil in trying to put filth into our head? How busy is he at that? He's busy. Because you know what the devil knows? He knows if he gets control of your mind, he has you. Whoever controls your mind controls you. Now, brethren, that's just a fact. We are what we think we do. That's who we are. You remember what Proverbs 23 says? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I'm what I think about. What I think about is what's going to come out in what I do. We need to make sure we understand the value of our heart. And it says, with all diligence or diligence. What's that mean? That literally means the Hebrew text says, more than all diligence, or more than all guarding, more than all protecting, we need to keep our heart. Your most valuable, important possession, you must pressingly, and is an important obligation. As a man thinketh in his heart. You know what? Everything that you do in life emanates from your heart. You understand that? Every action you do, everything you think, everything you act upon, begins in what you formulate in your heart. If you have hatred for a person, that began up here. If you have ill will against another person, that begins up here. It doesn't matter what they did, your reaction to that began up here. And anything that you and I do begins with what we formulate in our mind. Now, let me tell you how easy this is. If you put bad information in, what's coming out? Good action or bad action? If I put evil and hatred and malice and ill will and selfishness, if I put that in my mind, then how is it going to act itself out in my life? It's going to follow suit. It's going to follow suit. Satan's target. Satan wants your mind. Your body will come along for the ride. But in order to get your body, he's got to get your mind. And that's where Satan aims his darts. He aims it at your mind. He aims it at reasoning and thinking. He wants you to think and reason like he does. He wants you to think and reason in a way that will make you one of his children instead of one of God's. And his aim and his purpose is to control the way that you think. Oh, you don't need to come every time. You don't need to read your Bible every day. You don't have to become a Bible thumper. You know, you're going to bend your mind. You're going to burn yourself out. Just take it in small doses. He's aiming to get control of your life. But he can't do that unless he gets control of your mind. You know what that means? Whoever has your mind has you. And you know only one or two things have your mind. Either God has it or Satan has it. Which is it? Corrupted thinking and attitude. I don't have to like him. I don't like what he does. I don't like how he conducts himself. I don't have to like him. Trying to reason with you. Change your attitude. Change your thinking on how you look at that. Destroys faith, creates doubt, gives fear and anxiety, hopelessness. Why do you think people take their life? Why do you think somebody commits suicide? They don't see a way out. They don't see any hope. They've lost all hope. How did they arrive at that? They've convinced themselves there's no way out. Who did that? Who put them in that fix? They did. You know how? They took the circumstances of their life and they reasoned away. They reasoned God out of their life. You reason God out of your life, you're in a danger zone. Think about that. Take God out of your life. Take God out of your thinking. What direction are you going to go? You think this world's bad, and it is. But how bad do you think it is if we just take God completely out of the consciousness? And if you don't think that's what people are trying to do, then you're asleep at the wheel. Because what this world's trying to do is erase God from our conscience. And you know why? Because then they got us. If you take God out of the mind, where does it end? What's the brakes going to be put on? Where's the restraint going to come from? You take God out of the equation, you read Romans chapter 1. When you take God out of the equation, it's a downward slide into destruction. The erosion of moral and doctrinal beliefs. That's aimed in our mind. You know what? We're being sensitized in our society. Adultery's not that bad. Homosexuality's not that bad. Abortion's not that bad. All of it's just a matter of choice. It really doesn't make that big a deal. It's really not something to get all up in arms about. It's just that everybody has a choice. It doesn't matter what you believe. Yes, it does. It does matter. It does matter, ladies and gentlemen. Abortion is murder. It has nothing to do about choice. It has to do about murder. What is the definition of murder? That's the willful taking of innocent life. If that's not abortion, then I don't understand the word. What about homosexuality? It destroys the moral fiber. It makes one unfit for the kingdom of God. It has nothing to do about choice. The erosion of character and integrity. It's okay to cut corners. It's okay to cheat. It's okay to cut corners on your taxes. It's okay to fudge numbers. It's okay to do little things. It's okay. It's not that bad a deal. Yes, it is. Yes, it is, because what that does, it destroys your integrity. It destroys your character. And you say, well, nobody knows. Not yet. But they will. Because let me tell you this. If you begin to cheat, to mislead and misguide in things you think nobody knows about, in time, it's going to come out in other aspects of your life, because you're going to become sensitized that it's going to be coming out in other aspects of your life, and you're not even going to realize it. You don't believe me? You see, the erosion of our moral fiber begins in the heart. From it are the outflowing and outgoing of your life. Your heart is like a spring of water which continually flows thoughts, words, deeds, and plans. Beneficial, refreshing, destructive, or poisonous, it all flows from our mind. Don't believe me? Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Listen to the words of Jesus. Jesus knew a little bit about the destructive nature of the heart. In verse number 34, here's what he said. He said, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word that men may speak, they will give an account of in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." What's he mean? Every thought that I had in my heart, I'm going to answer for it. But every thought I had in my heart led to an action that I did. Now let me ask you something. How can I think evil? How can I put my heart on evil things? How can I reason in an evil way and believe that what's going to come out is going to be good and beneficial? Can't happen. If you put bad information in, bad is going to result. Is it not? But who put that information in there? I did. And if I put it in there, then it's going to show itself in the things that I do. You know, James 3 talks about this. And I just want to read one verse that explains better maybe than what I'm doing, about how you can't put one thing in and get another thing out. Listen to what James said. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Can I curse God with my mouth and then turn around and pray to Him at the same time? You can do that. It won't profit you anything. Well, how's it happen? Because of what we put in our mind. Our thoughts, our deeds, our plans, of whatever we're going to do is a continuing flow in our lives. And all of it begins in our heart. You know what? Well, I would conclude by that. If I get control of my heart, I'll get control of my actions. That makes sense? If I control what I think, if I control how I think, if I control what I put in my mind, that I'm going to go a long way in controlling what's going to come out in my actions. I believe that's the way it works. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. An evil man, out of the evil treasure in his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, man speaketh. Whatever's in there is what's coming out in action. And he said, what comes out of a man defiles a man. For what comes from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceitful lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within. They defile a man. All those actions that are evil, all those actions that are simple, that we know are simple. Is it simple to commit adultery? Is it simple to have lewd behavior? Is it simple to steal? Is it simple to commit adultery? Is it simple to commit fornication? We know it's simple, but where did it begin? Let me give you an example. Where does adultery begin? Where does adultery begin? It begins when I look at someone to lust after them. Let me ask you this. Can a man or a woman commit adultery before they lust? First is lust. That is up here. And what does it lead to? It leads to adultery. Man hates in his mind. What does it lead to? It leads to murder. See how it works? See how it works? It begins in the mind. It begins in the mind. And then James said, out of the same mouth, we just read this. And look at verse 11. Does the spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? No. If it's bitter, it's all going to be bitter. If it's fresh, it's all going to be fresh. You don't have two different sources of water from the same source. He goes on to say, can a fig tree bear, my brethren, bear olives? You know it can't. Can a grapevine bear figs? You know it can't. Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter, now listen, here's the conclusion. But if you have bitter envyings and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. What's he saying? What he's saying is, when a man thinks evil, when he puts his heart there, then eventually, very quickly, his actions are going to show what he's thinking. You understand that? When I do what's wrong, I've already given away where my mind's at. Do you understand that? When I do wrong, it's already a foregone conclusion that your mind is also corrupted. Because you can't do the action until you first think it. Until you first think it. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You ever wonder why the Bible says to put the fruits of the Spirit in your life? Joy, peace, long-suffering, love, forgiveness. Why do we need to put those character traits in our mind. You know why? Because it will make us forgiving. It'll make us compassionate. It will make us determined to help others. You see, if I put all that stuff in my mind, then it's going to come out in how I treat my fellow man. But again, who determines what kind of things I put in my mind? Who determines what kind of things I dwell upon? Who determines what kind of things I think about? Who determines the kind of things that I put in my mind, whether they're good things or evil? Who makes that determination? I do. You do. Last for this morning. You know what all these passages imply? It implies one can guard his heart. It's something that's possible. One's thoughts, desires, and affections, values, and will can be determined and can be controlled. Hear my son and be wise. Guide your heart in the way. You know what? I can guard my thoughts, my desires, my affections, and my values. And if I guard those things with my mind, then I'll control what I do in my life. But you know, as much as that is true, the other is true too. If you don't have the proper thoughts, if you don't have proper desires, if you have the wrong affections, if you have the wrong values, then what's going to be produced in your life? Sin and destruction and heartache and misery is what's in the waiting. And you know what? It's inevitable. It's inevitable, ladies and gentlemen. If you put the wrong kind of content into your mind, it is inevitable that wrong actions are going to come from your life. And so as closing this morning, we'll finish this tonight. In closing this morning, let me ask you, are you guarding your heart with all diligence? Are you being careful? Are you really careful about what you think on? What you put in your mind? Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. One day, I don't know what you're thinking, even as I'm standing up here preaching. I don't know what you're thinking, but you know what? I can get a good idea. Maybe not particularly what you're thinking, but whether or not your mind's on spiritual things by what you're doing. You know that? Let me give you an example. Somebody's out there sleeping. Their mind on spiritual things? Would I be going out on a limb if I said, I don't think their mind's on spiritual things? Now, they might be taking medication that's making them sleepy. That could be, and I wouldn't know that. I've had people come and tell me that. So if I'm out here sleeping, it's not because I'm not interested. It's because I'm taking this medication that has a tendency to make me sleepy. You know what? You don't have to explain that to me. But God knows. God knows that. And here's what I want you to leave you with this morning. You have control of your heart. Nobody else does. If you're not happy with where your spiritual life is, with your knowledge, with how busy you are in the Lord's kingdom, with what you think you should be or what you could be doing and you're not doing, and you can't understand why, well, I'm going to help you. The problem is your heart's wrong. You got the wrong focus in your life. And your heart's not right. That's why your life's not right. You know, too many times in this world, you know what we do? We look at the symptom. And we try to deal with the symptom. And we never get to the root of the problem. When a person, let me give you one illustration. Attendance. When a person is not as attentive as they should be, attendance is not their problem. Their problem is their heart. The heart's not focused on spiritual things. And what do? We focus on the symptom. And we never correct the problem because we don't deal with what the problem is. Is your heart right with God this morning? If I'd have been thinking, I'd ask Mel to lead that song for the invitation, but I wasn't thinking. That's not uncommon. But if your heart's not right with God, you can fix that. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you can render obedience to the gospel. Hearing the word of God, believing it, repenting of your sin, confessing his name before for this audience, and submitting to baptism, you come in contact with the blood of Christ to have your sins washed away. We can read about that. We're studying about that in Acts. But if you're here, and you are a child of God, and you're not happy with the direction your life's taking, you're not happy with your relationship with God, and you just seem to be spinning your wheels, you seem to be in a rut, and you can't seem to get it out, maybe it's because you're not dealing with the right problem. Where you got to begin, where you got to begin is your heart. You get your heart right, the rest of it will fall into place. If we can help you in any way, we bid you to come forward as together we stand, as we sing.
Song number 263.